Okay? Peter had healing in his shadow. Jesus had healing in his wings. Amen? Peter had healing in his shadow. Jesus had healing in his Peter? Jesus. Peter? Jesus. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Are you smelling what I'm stepping in? Are you itching where I'm scratching today? Yes. I just invented a new charismatic dance. Oh, Psalm 17, verse 8, the psalmist said, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the what? Shadow of your wings. He's not just being waxing poetic there. He's asking God to show him favor and grace in a powerful supernatural way. Hide me. Give me protection in the shadow of your wings. If you got the wing, brother, you got protection. Let's move on. Psalm 57, verse 1. The psalmist said, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities pass by. Let me tell you something. I want to be in the shadow of His wings, in the realm of His glory, in the realm of His power, in that place where the enemy cannot penetrate, where the calamities just pass you by, because you are abiding in that place in God of power and protection, in the shadow of His wings. It gets even better. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 4. You may be familiar with this one. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the, say it louder, shadow of the Almighty. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. So you can see there is this dynamic of divine protection in the shadow of God's wings, in the realm of His favor, in the realm of His glory and anointing power that abides upon His people who walk with Him, who know Him, who are intimate and close and in walking in fellowship with Him. In the realm of His anointing power, the shadow of His wings. Now, in the book of Job, there's a reference to what I believe is the same thing. It uses a little bit different terminology, but I think it's referring to the same thing. See if you agree. In the book of Job, in the beginning, God is telling Satan what a blameless, upright man Job is. Boy, is there anybody like my servant Job? Man, fears God, does good things, he's blameless, he's upright, blah, blah, blah. And Satan responds in verse 9 and says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Satan is saying, hey, yeah, no wonder. I mean, you're his sugar daddy. You would put a hedge around him. You put a hedge around his household. You had put a hedge around his family. You put a hedge around everything. I can't get in there. I can't touch the man. He's living the gravy life. Of course he's doing good. Why not? You treat him so well. You have put a hedge around him. Satan couldn't get in, couldn't touch him. Couldn't touch him without God's permission. God had to do something to allow him access. Without God's permission, without God's key card, Satan wasn't going to get in there. Couldn't penetrate it. There was a hedge around him. I would submit to you today that that is the shadow of his wings. There is a spiritual dynamic of power and glory. Angels might be involved, who knows? But it is a hedge of glory that protects those who have God's favor, his covenant people. It protects them from the power of Satan, from the attacks of Satan. He can't penetrate. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You're going to walk through it. It might get scary. It might get ugly. It might get loud. It might get frightening, but you are going to walk through that thing because he has the shadow of his wings around you. He has hedged you round about. Praise God. There's another similar thing that in Zechariah that the Lord said he would do for Jerusalem. I love this. Zechariah 2, 4, and 5. He says, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. Verse 5. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Doesn't that get you pumped up? I will be a wall of fire around her. Man, I want a wall of fire around me. We were in D.C. the other day doing a conference, playing some music for this conference, and I had to park a couple blocks away. And when you walk out of anything in D.C. at midnight, and you have to walk a couple blocks away, you know, you're looking all around. You got your eyes wide open, checking your back guard, you know, looking over your shoulder. I want a wall of fire around me. I don't want the enemy to say, oh, look at that guy. He's an easy target. I want it to say, yikes, I ain't messing with that stuff. There's a wall of fire around that man. I ain't even thinking about messing with that guy. Praise God. Now, that's a little bit bigger scale when he's talking about Jerusalem. I mean, that's, you know, basically, you know, his sovereign covenant power that he's made with them. But for the believer who is walking in the anointing of God, who is really walking in that intimate fellowship with God, who has a real relationship and seeks him daily and lives in that secret place, abides. You have to spend time to abide. Abide is not when you go to the drive-through window. Abide is when you come in with your luggage. You come into with your luggage to Burger King, they're going to look at you funny. I'm coming to abide. Better fire up some hamburgers. I'm here. When you abide in the secret place of God. And I believe that glory, that wall of fire surrounds the believer who walks in the anointing and fullness of the Spirit in that fellowship with God. The Holy Spirit is not only indwelling them, it is overshadowing them, and Satan cannot penetrate it. It quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. It's a walk of faith. I want to ask you, how many people want to walk in the fullness of that blessing? How many people want a wall of fire around them, of heavenly fire from on high to keep the attacks of the enemy away from you? Praise God. How many people want the kind of power to where you see people healed right out on the street? You'll be in Chick-fil-A, man, and by the time they get you your chicken sandwich, that guy is getting off the floor walking under his own power. Praise God. How many people want to see, as we spoke about a couple weeks ago, that Randy Clark for years and years never saw a single deaf person healed. And all of a sudden, after one, it was like it primed the pump, and in one shot they had 80 deaf people healed. How many people would love to see that kind of level of the miraculous power of God? I would, because Scripture promises it to me. If he wants to give it to me, I want to honor him by walking in that. It magnifies God, and I will not dishonor him by just simply refusing his gift and shaming the love that he has sent to me. I want it all. How many people want prophetic insight to where the Word of God is sharing insights with you and words of knowledge and words of wisdom? It's streaming in like a download. It's coming 10 times faster than dial-up. It's just like, you know, man, the Lord has just given you this rich wisdom and insight. How many people want that? To where you're in a situation, you're like, God, and you're barely even got the words out, and God is downloading that wisdom and his answer, and you can hear that still small voice giving the answer. It amazes me sometimes. I'll go to pray to God about something, and I barely even got it out of the lips of my mind, and an answer is like, bam. I mean, it doesn't even scroll across the bottom of the screen because I'm a slow reader. It just is like, bam, the word is there, and I know it. Boy, I better obey that. I know it's the voice of God. Don't you want that kind of intimacy and fellowship and insight, words of knowledge? How many people want to walk in a place where the devils fear you instead of you fearing them? Praise God. I was jogging the other day in Ridgeland. I came across this person dressed in black. They were a scary looking person. And I thought, boy, that person looks like they are neck deep in the occult, man. I bet they got demons all over that guy. And my flesh wanted to react in fear. Well, I ain't going up to that guy. But then the Lord, that still small voice, spoke to me and said, don't even be afraid of them. Man, I have already conquered them. I have triumphed over them at the cross and made a show of them openly. I have disarmed principalities and powers. I am the king, and you don't have to fear that. I am going to crush the enemy under your feet. The devils that are attacking that man ought to be afraid of you jogging around that corner. And it encouraged me. I want to be the kind of Christian that when you walk into a room, man, the devils are like, oh, no. He didn't tell me he was going to be here. Yeah, man. I want to see people set free. That's why he called us. Praise God. So, is that what you want? Anybody want that? You up for that? Okay. If you don't, I'm going to talk about that the rest of this last page. But if you don't, you can go ahead and, you know, see if Missy has the food ready. But if you want that, hang with me for just a few more minutes, because here's how you get it. I believe. This is something that at least plays a big part of it. There's many facets to this, but here's a big part of that. I believe a huge part of generating that kind of power comes from nothing less than spending regular time of intimate fellowship with God. There's no cutting corners. You just got to be there with Him. He's the source of the power. It comes from spending regular quality times of intimate fellowship with God. Call it what you want. Call it soaking. Call it quiet time. Call it prayer and meditation. Call it waiting on the Lord. Call it practicing the presence. I don't care what label you slap on this thing. The bottom line is, it's time. Time spent with God. Time face to face where you are listening and receiving and reaching out and seeking and embracing God in fellowship, not because you have a laundry list of stuff you want Him to give you.